We are live at Gilly's in Dallas, down here in the South Dallas Cedars area.
Don't come here, Kat.
Legendary Gilly's. It's a private event. And it is an event hosted,
called the Sports Power Brokers.
Right. MC'd by Gina Miller. Hosted in part by Tony Faye and his group. Starring us as leaders in the community.
Mm-hmm. As power brokers in our own right.
Right. Also, Troy Aikens.
Aikman.
Okay, Aikman. Dirk Nowitzki. Don Nelson, Big Don Nelson. Darren Woodson. And I believe Don Nelson is the guest of honor because Don Nelson, really, since he left here and went to Hawaii, he has done a piece with HBO, Inside Sports.
That didn't require him to leave.
He stayed right there. And I want to say nothing else. He has not done an interview with anyone in the Dallas area since he left, and he has agreed to come on with us. And that is going to be at 5:15. So we get to talk to the great Don Nelson, a man that...
That's so great.
I've shared so many beers, watching him drink beer moments.
Shared beers, watching him drink beer.
I really wasn't in the...
What?
I was a Cub reporter. Dave has done this too. Because if you cover the Mavericks, when Nelly was here... When the game was over with, you would wait 10 minutes. He would talk to the team. He would come out in a very orderly, timely manner. He would be carrying a small blue bucket. The blue bucket would have about 4 or 5 Bud Lights in it. He would sit down in his little chair, crack open a beer, take about 2 big sips, and then go, "All right, boys, what you got?" And then by the end...
And then could you reach into the bucket?
I would not have a beer with him, no. He would have about 3 of them.
Okay.
In the 10 minutes that he was doing the interview. And then, you know where he went? Right after almost every game, he went to the King's X. And that was his haunt. He would play shuffleboard at the King's X till his brain was ready to go to bed and wind things down.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do it all over again the next night or a couple of days later.
I did, in fact, share a beer with him once in this very building.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I ran into him and his wife. They just happened to be at the bar. I think I was...
Joy, isn't that her name?
I'm trying to remember.
I believe it's Joy.
I was with an ex,
uh-huh,
if you can imagine. And I think maybe there was a show upstairs here that I was going to, and so we were like pre-gaming. But I saw him, and... I went over and talked to him because I told him, I said, "Hey, I want to bet because of you." And he was like, "What was that?" And I said, "Well, I was in Maui and I was in this bar in, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was near where he lived. And I said, I bet her, my ex, I bet her that there is a picture of Don Nelson somewhere in this bar." And lo and behold, right behind the bar, kind of down to the right, was a picture of Don Nelson with Shaq, with Don with the clown nose on, because of the Hack-a-Shaq thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Damn, that's great." And then so we shared a beer.
That's awesome. Well, we look forward to sharing some time with Don at 5:15 and talking NBA and Mavs and all that fun
stuff. Fish ties.
I can't wait to see what his hair looks like.
It was long last time on TV. That was, what, 5 or 6 years ago, I think, when we... Remember, he had reconnected with his daughter?
I'm amazed they got him to this event.
Dude, how did this happen?
That's...
Seriously.
I'm fine if that's half the conversation. Of
how did you get out of Maui?
How'd they get you off the island?
And then there's a fellow named Dirk who will join us at about 5:55.
Who was World Cupping yesterday?
Did he go?
He certainly did.
Was he with the highfalutin people?
I don't have details. He simply was inquiring whether I was there. And I was happy that when he thinks about soccer, he thinks about me and our famous bets over the years on various soccer matches we've both cared about. So,
did he take the PH down to Houston?
I don't think he was at the Houston match. I think he was in the at the Dallas.
Oh, I thought you were saying he went to go see Germany.
Oh, gosh.
I bet he did that.
Now that you mention it, I don't know which match he was at. I said, were you there? No, he was here.
Okay.
He was here because he was in agreement with me that the MVPs yesterday were the Japanese fans.
Okay. All right. I got it twisted then.
Yeah.
Well, we have so much of that to discuss.
He's not traveling for Carousel.
You went to what looked to be one of the coolest things ever in Arlington yesterday.
Can confirm, but won't yet.
At Dallas Stadium.
Yes.
Do we have to call it that or them?
We can do whatever we want. We're not taking money.
No. They can't order me around.
We can't be bought.
FIFA doesn't own me.
Well, no. they could.
Well,
they just have chosen not to, so we chose not to play their games.
I'm going to get this out there. I want to let you guys know. I believe I've been invited to a semifinal game.
Shut up.
Yeah. It would involve me going to Atlanta.
Not the one that's here?
Not even the one here.
What in the world?
Because I was going to say, if we want to put out the call for the Dallas semi, that's one I've been unable to work my way into so far. So do your work.
Corby Davidson, the ticket.
Coming up.
Do your thing. The Hardline.
So does Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, you both do.
The Hardline Sweet Challenge at the Dallas semifinal is on.
I believe that's a Tuesday.
It's probably right during our show. We're probably screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you want a live talk show in your suite. All right, it is 5:16 here on The Ticket, and we are out live today at Old Gillies. Back out here again because there's a big night for Tony Fay and his group. And, of course, the man to my right knows how to get to Gillies. I know that. And he's been out here a time or two over the years. And, heck, the man to my left probably as well, who has joined us. Because he's not in Maui, which is a story in its own right at the Sports Power Brokers, brought to you by Choctaw Casinos and Resorts. It is Don Nelson and Donnie Nelson. Look at this.
The full Nelson. Look out.
The full Nelson together again.
Okay, Big Don, how did they get you out of Maui?
It was easy.
It was?
Yeah. It's a nice place to live, but you don't want to die there. When I turned 86, I thought I better make a move.
He needed a loan from all those Willie Nelson poker games.
I was going to say, yeah. So are you back here now full time?
Like I am.
I live
in Frisco.
No way!
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, my gosh.
I love it here. I had the best time of my life. It's just unbelievable. The last 6 months have been unreal. Working with my son. We bought a little team in Rome, and we're having fun with that, and couldn't be better.
You know, it's funny. We were just saying this on the air, and back, you know, when you took over the Mavericks, and at that time we were all a little bit younger, and I was one of the guys that would cover the team for the radio station, and Dave was too, and my favorite thing to do, because you know you run into some very crass human beings in this business and crass head coaches all across the sports landscape. You, though, post-game was always such a treat because we would wait about 10 minutes. You would come out. You would have a bucket in your hand. You would sit on your stool, put the bucket down, crack open a beer, take a sip, take another sip, look at us and say, what you got? And it was just the most relaxed atmosphere, and you were always incredibly honest and forthright and with your time. And I'm telling you, we saw the other side of it a lot. You were awesome to work with.
Well, thank you very much. I suppose if we lost, it'd be more than a sip or two, I'd say.
I think you'd work your way through two or three during the interview process. And then we were saying, and then off to King's X you would go.
Yeah.
We have that in common. We both love King's X.
I loved it. I love King's X, and shot a lot of shuffleboard there, lost a lot of money at that table.
It's all right.
Do you have a shuffleboard spot in Frisco?
I do. Oh, no, not yet. One's coming. But on Maui, I have a table.
This is big news to us because we can't think of Hawaii without thinking about you.
Yeah.
And last time we saw you, it might have been like that HBO piece or something. You had an amazing head of hair going and everything.
I did, didn't
did Frisco,
I?
Did Frisco make you get a haircut before you moved there, you hippie?
I thought moving back to Texas, I better get a haircut and buy a hat.
A little more conservative.
Man, that's a, what a big story we have on our hands here. What's going on in Rome?
Oh, we're in the works of this new NBA Europe, and so Luca, Nelly, and myself kind of joined forces, and here we go. We're back in the game. We're signing players and interviewing coaches and having the time of our lives. It's like we got the old band back together.
So yeah. Is it like an international, what you say NBA Europe? What does that all entail?
Yeah, so this is a merger between the EuroLeague and NBA Europe that you're seeing and reading about. So it's the NBA's first jaunt when they're going to go to Europe and potentially have a partnership we're all waiting on. And so we bought a small team in Cremona, Italy, and got the right to move it to Rome. And so we're literally, it's like the old war room, man. We're putting rosters up, and we're having the time of our lives.
How many teams once they finish the merger?
That's being worked out right now. I mean, there's 12 markets. You know, Rome's one of those markets, and I think it's right place, right time. We got a great management team. You know, Luca's really, really excited. You know, I'm sure you've read, you know, about his excitement about the. He's on pretty much every one of our you know, player interviews. Big fan of European basketball, so yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And he's always wanted to own a team.
Well, he's got the money now,
so finally, yeah, he's going to be our partner.
Yeah, he's off his rookie contract, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Wow. Okay, things are happening fast then, huh? You got, I didn't know basketball. I don't even know about the arena in Italy. You working through all that? And
yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there's a couple of options there. So
okay.
Coliseum, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. We're going straight for the
put a roof on it.
We got to renovate a little bit. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Okay, Big Don, I you've been here 6 months now, and not a ton has changed in the state of Texas, but one thing that hasn't changed is that weed is still not legal here. Has that affected you at all after your stint in Hawaii?
I found a way.
Okay. You got a guy?
I know a couple guys.
Okay.
Man, okay, so he gave you his story. Mine goes back further. Donnie knows this, but you were the first coach of my boyhood Bucks for me when I became conscious. I grew up on fish ties and tractors across the state of Wisconsin.
Kidding. Yeah, oh, that goes way back.
Yeah, so
that was great fun. I had more fun there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was just a wonderful place for me to be at the time.
Well, you were a cult figure in terms of everyone knew Nelly. And
those are the farm fun days.
Where yeah, you absolutely.
Drove a John Deere across the state of Wisconsin at 12.5 miles an hour.
We raised over $1 million for the farmers.
How long does that take?
Well, it took about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Thank God I took one of my daughters with me, so she was by my side the whole time.
That sounds like a sore rear end.
We hit every saloon in the state.
That's why it took two weeks.
We'd sell T-shirts for $10. And anybody at the bar, of course, had to have one.
That's amazing.
So it was just a great trip for us. We raised over $1 million for the farmers. I'll tell you a funny story because I was trying to include as many farmers as I could. So I go to the first farmer, and I interviewed him for, you know, to see if I could give him some money.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how much do you need? He says, I got to have $1 million by tomorrow. Or I'm just not going to make it. I said, that's all I got. You can't give it just to one guy. So anyway, that's how
yes,
it started.
Wow. So how... We're going to talk to Dirk in a bit. We're excited about that. How often do you talk to Dirk?
I have not seen Dirk personally. I watch him on TV all the time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a couple of years.
Okay.
So it's been a while, but I'm anxious to see him myself.
Were you keeping up with the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
I mean, how great is this for New York and the Knicks? And I mean, it's been forever, obviously.
Well, it's probably the greatest playoff we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was deserved. It was... one of the great performances of all time, and it happened in New York. It's going to be a great year for the NBA this year because of it. and the excitement and the quality of basketball, really, was second to none that I've seen in a long time.
How much would you have salivated if you had a guy like Wimby on your team?
Well, I'd take Brunson in a minute.
Well, okay, yeah, yeah. I just know you had the affinity you had for tall guys that could dribble and play point forward and things like that.
No, I understand. I love Wimpy. I really do. And, you know, he's going to have plenty of chances.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about him too much.
But do you buy into the fact that Wimby and the Spurs, it was just too soon, they weren't ready?
I think they were ready. They were just beat by a better team.
Yeah.
At the time, I mean, it was just no stopping the Knicks. They were just too good. I thought they played pretty well. I mean, they had, you know, one game where they didn't play well and lost a big lead. But other than that, I mean, think they got to the finals. Think of the teams they beat.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness sakes, whoever thought they'd beat Oklahoma City?
I mean,
everybody thought, you know, they'd go down there. So anyway, it's a great time for basketball, and I'm happy about that. I love it so.
Are you used to watching games after dinner, after getting to watch games after lunch for so many years?
Yeah, they come on like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's perfect.
In Maui, you know, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Now I got to stay up late at night to watch it.
This is Don and Donnie Nelson. You want to talk about two basketball innovators, absolutely, in combined forces and you know, when he talks about Wemby, I mean, gosh, who's more of a Nelly player than a 7'4" guy jacking 30-footers? That's perfect. And it's in terms of the European development and discovery of so many talents. Like, Donnie, we're talking like a decade since an American player has won an NBA MVP. I mean, it's to a point where they're taking all the MVPs, the international market.
We got to get them back on track.
I mean, could you see this coming? You've been such a part of that scene over there for 30 years plus over in Europe. Was there a time when you could envision something like this dominance-wise from the super elite of the elite players coming from over there?
Well, we specialize at such a young age. That's the one thing I am just adamantly against, you know, is, you know, if you're a young, whatever, in the eighth grade, you know, you're going to be a prototype power forward, and there's such a emphasis on winning at such a young age. We're over there, it's more of a team. Everyone learns to shoot, first of all.
Yeah.
And then you build off of that. So I think from a youth perspective, we emphasize some of the wrong things.
Do you like positionless basketball, Don? Do you like where the game is right now with the three-pointers and sort of positionless basketball?
You know, I changed this year for the first time. I didn't like it for a long time. I thought we shot too many threes. But there's a reason we do, because you get, you know, twice the amount of points if you make one of those suckers. So
yes,
it's worth it if you do the math, you know, it's worth it. And now that everybody can shoot them, it's a different game. You better be able to shoot the three now, and you better be able to penetrate and make plays. So it's the kind of a ball I've played my entire life, so it's been an easy transition for me.
Yeah.
If I may go back to my childhood and say it was such a big occasion when Brian Winters would bang home a three or something like that, and now... Now it's 7 threes for
you are dating yourself, man. Brian Winters.
I Junior Bridgman and Brian Winters and my guys growing up.
Yeah, who knows who Brian Winters are?
You know.
I know him well. Yeah.
That's all I was going for.
Bob still talks about Paul McKeskey all the time.
Paul McKeskey. Like
oh,
big
yeah, he was my center for like 4 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Tell me about it, Coach.
I wish he was a little better. But
yeah, he too.
Was what he was, you know.
But we brought in Craig Hodges to hit the threes, and I'll stop dropping Bucks names here.
So McKeskey never brought the ball up, did he?
I don't believe he did.
Yeah.
He's the only center that didn't. Played for me.
Randy Brewer tried, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So what would you like? Mitch Johnson, the Spurs coach, has caught so much hell. And like you said, I mean, this seemed like a team of destiny with New York. They were perfect pretty much throughout the entire playoffs. They end up winning that series rather comfortably in five games, even though the scores were close. If you would have been coaching that team, though, and like I said, Mitch is catching a lot of hell, what would you have done differently throughout that series to try to shake it up?
Well, probably something wrong because I coached there before. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
But I coached the Knicks for like a half a year, and then I got fired. So whatever I was doing wasn't right at the time.
59 games, to be exact.
Yeah. But I loved New York. I really did. I loved it there. I had a lot of friends in the organization, and they treated me well. They really did.
That's great, man. It's just wonderful to reminisce a little bit with you boys. I know you got a busy night here and so forth, but
is this your daughter?
Yeah, she just crashed the set.
My God, it is.
That's the youngest one.
Okay,
that's Katie.
This is the one that I saw on TV, right? That they did HBO did the story on.
Yeah.
Yes, that you reconnected with.
Oh,
yeah, she won.
Oh no, that's my other daughter.
She's here too. Okay.
You're surrounded,
right.
Dude.
I got you.
That's Lee. That's my other daughter.
Okay. Yeah.
Surrounded by Nellies.
Yeah. Michael.
Well, boys, it's really good to see you.
All right. Michael. Always
seriously.
A pleasure,
yeah. Thanks, enjoy up here.
Michael
glad.
Very good to catch up.
Yeah, glad to catch up.
Doing,
glad you guys are in town.
Nice to see you.
Great Michael Finley crashing the set.
Look at that. Thanks for coming. That's very nice of you.
Don,
thanks,
take
Michael.
Care, man.
Another hit, man.
Be
another
good.
Okay.
Cheers to you.
Okay. Good to be on with you.
Enjoying
guys.
The evening.
Thanks,
we'll do
guys.
It again now that you're in town again.
Yeah.
There he goes. Don Nelson.
Good to be home.
And Donnie Nelson.
The guest of honor.
The Nelson boys are back in town. Michael Finley here. It is a scene in this little bitty room here in Gillies.
It
tell
is.
You that. It was, we were the only ones in here.
We were here before. It was cool.
Yeah, we really were. Thank you, DJ, very much. We'll have Dirk Nowitzki on with us here in about 15 minutes or so. So stay tuned for Dirk. We're out here honoring the great Don Nelson, who we just had on with Donnie. And it's good to see Don. I cannot believe he lives here.
Frisco's own.
I cannot believe it.
I can't believe he's 86.
Yeah. There's a lot of Switzer in him, and Switzer's 88 now.
Yeah. See, I think that's really appropriate because both of them seemed old. When I was like 12.
Right.
And as I nearly turned 54, the math has to catch up at some point, right?
Yeah.
It does.
So Don Nelson, when I thought he was really old, he was like 40.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
He's so 86, so 30 years ago. I mean, he was hovering around our age when he took over the Mavs.
Yeah. Yeah, so when he's freaking Bucks coach, it's I'm 12 and
yeah,
you know, he's 46 probably, 45.
All right, so statue complete. We've been talking about it now for what seems like the last 2 years that they're ready to build it and
he saved the best for last.
Man, what
45?
A stud. What a stud. What a team. But that guy in particular, you talk about. You know, we'll have Dirk on, and, you know, what a legend Dirk is around here.
Yeah.
Can that guy, will he ever be able to buy one thing in the state of New York? Ever? Can he walk down the streets?
No.
The similarities are remarkable, right down to the pay cuts or taking less than you could have sort of financial component of it. That didn't hurt Dirk's legend here to always know he could have got more. And Jalen, same thing. And then to when their team needs them most in the fourth quarter of these huge games, not only are they present, but they're kind of the whole thing in those moments. I realize they both had teammates, and I realize those teammates both chipped in. But in the fourth quarter, the contributions are just absurd.
How did he... I swear, 90% of those shots in the fourth quarter were in the Wimby orbit. Either Wimby had to switch on him, Wimby was chasing him, and he got those things off, and they never got blocked, not one time. And
very
they were
steep,
going
man.
In. I mean, the degree of difficulty on those shots were an 11 of 10. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah.
And they all were going in. And just the crazy... collapses from the Spurs in the last 5 minutes of these games.
And just, yeah, the lack of composure. And the fact that Stephon Castle, his first basket was that putback.
I don't get it. I didn't realize that till that moment. I'm like, that's his first basket?
Yeah, he was in his own head in that game. Yeah, it was really interesting because, again, not to see everything through the prism of 2011, but there was a point in the series where you feel like the Heat sort of died before they died. And that 29-point blown lead in game four, I'm guilty of still saying until the casket's closed, they're not dead. And because they have games 5 and 7 at home, I mentally talked myself into the Spurs will surely get game 5. And maybe the Scott Foster thing factored in. A lot of it is I was convinced that this would come down to whether the Knicks could close it at home in game 6. Otherwise, they would be in big trouble if it gets to a 7. But in reality, the Spurs' soul was pulled out of their chest in game 4.
Oh.
And game 5 was a mere formality.
I mean, we've seen it. It's called being game 6th. And
yes.
It stems from the Rangers
yes.
being game 6th
right.
in 2011 when we all thought, oh, there's another game. They'll be fine. Everything's great.
Yeah.
You'll be able to play. And the reality is...
they can respond.
The mentality... and we've seen it over and over and over in these series.
Yeah.
And the Spurs got game 6th against Ray Allen.
Right.
Right? Like
right.
10 years ago or whatever
yep.
that was.
Yep.
So it's just mentally impossible, especially for a young team, to overcome something I think that is that historic. And the Rangers was the same thing. That Ranger comeback
yep.
was historic. And you can't wake up the next day and be like, oh, we're good. And like Wimby was saying, like, everyone knows we're going to win this still.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, man.
And they tried. I mean, they built a lead. They had a lead in every single game.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the takeaway, is that Wemby has begun his villain stage a little bit.
Dude.
He's
He did a total heel turn in this series.
Yes, he's done a great job of getting people to finally say, this guy's not really my guy.
What's this guy's deal?
And honestly, I don't know what a big deal that is necessarily, other than to say, he's never failed in his life. This is the thing, you know, whatever athlete you want to pick, usually these guys who show up as teenagers on the scene and they're so good, you have to understand, they've only had success. They've never had to deal with scorn, second guessing, just all these things. They've never had to deal with any of it because everything's come easy, and now he's facing resistance.
Yeah.
And criticism. And
he's kind of mean.
And everybody takes it a different way, especially if you've never felt it before, and you can come across as a spoiled bratty kid, right?
Yeah. Well,
and he kind of is.
And we always thought that he's so slender and he's so tall and he is going to be the one that's going to be beaten up and battered. And he turned that totally around and is throwing elbows and throwing forearms and
yeah.
just doesn't even care for his opponents.
I think he lost the plot.
Yeah.
You know, and
they're in his head a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And he's going to have, I mean, it's going to be a long time to, obviously, like Big Don was saying, they're going to be fine. He's going to be fine. They're going to win championships. But I do think that nothing's given. Nothing's promised, right? Like, next year they may go in as the favorite. But there's still a lot of growing up to do within that guy and
yeah.
a lot of figuring out how to not be pushed around like a rag doll
yeah.
half the time, you know? And also, in the clutch, they got no one.
No one.
They have no one. I get De'Aaron Fox as the whipping boy. That is absolutely one of the worst performances we have seen from a team at that level that literally could not make a basket in how many games did we see? Every one of them in the last few minutes.
Yeah.
They were lost.
They don't have a closer.
They
yeah.
need a bucket getter. We're kind of back where when we started the playoffs, I'm like, who's going to get you a basket in the clutch minutes on this team? And then it didn't matter until it did matter. And that's why you got to win 16 games to be called champion, right?
Yeah.
And they'll be fine, I'm sure, but they did stall out. And now going around the internet these last 48 hours is they'll be back for sure. And then they show a picture of Durant, Westbrook, and Harden in 2012. And so they will be back, most likely. But you also never know when it's your window.
No, and you also, because of that team, and we've seen it with so many other teams out there now, you're officially the hunted.
Yes.
You are. You yes. are the hunted. And everything that the Mavericks do, moving forward is going to be built around how do we beat them and how do we beat Oklahoma City. And it never stops. Like, it's not just them. It's every team now, and it's easier said than done, obviously. But now everything that one of these elite teams is doing, it's centered around trying to figure out how to stop Wemby.
Teams are going to go to work on that Knicks tape of how to slow down a Wemby offense. And, you know, look, when he's 25, we won't recognize 22-year-old Wemby. He's got such a long runway to figure things out and get stronger and put together a more complete game and not float out to half court when the team needs him to get them a bucket. But I will remind you, Giannis had a Chris Middleton that got him buckets. Giannis had a Chris Middleton that scored 40 in a finals game to get them a key win when Giannis was not playing really well. And I'm not saying Giannis and Wemby are the same guy, because they're obviously not. But you might need that bucket getter.
Yeah. No, you do. And they don't have it.
Maybe it will be Harper, but he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Harper's
so fun.
I think it will be Harper. He's so elite. All right.
The funniest thing I saw is a guy, San Antonio fan, saying, man, they broke into my car last night. Look at what they did. And it's they left a De'Aaron Fox signed card on his driver's seat.
Man, that dude is weathering a storm right now.
Awful.
But he has $250 million to handle.
Yeah, his contract kicks in, right? Like next year where he gets 49 and then 56 and 60.
Yes.
That guy.
Right.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, he's got the Chet deal. Maybe you trade one for the other.
All right, let's come back here.
Just kidding.
Everybody. In 3 minutes, and we will talk to our old buddy Dirk Nowitzki next. All right, we are live at Empower Dallas, where there are several Q&As going on up here. Mainly, it's all to honor the great Don Nelson, the longtime Mavericks coach and local hero around here. Who doesn't love Nelly?
Who has moved back. He lives in Frisco now.
Unbelievable. The most shocking
haircut.
Story of the whole night is that Big Don Nelson has left Hawaii. That's crazy.
He did because he says he didn't want to die there.
Great place to live, but don't want to die there.
Interesting.
I know.
So I might disagree with him on that.
Well, yeah. Maybe it was just to get closer to family here?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
There is.
That's,
you do reach a certain age.
Yeah.
Where,
well, I mean, living on an island, you certainly will get stir crazy after a while if you never leave.
Yeah, you should winter there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way.
Well, it
to
sounds
do it.
Like they still have a place.
Yes.
As Donnie said, we're splitting time between here and Rome and Hawaii.
Sounds pretty good to me.
That's not a bad little life if you can carve it out. So Dirk,
do you see any 7-footers?
He'll be here in just a few minutes. I think they're bringing him through that door to get away from the crowd because there's a lot of people here.
Okay.
But, yeah, he'll be here in just a second. And I think maybe Darren Woodson after that. But Woods on run, indeed. And thank you to your kiddo for bringing us food.
Dude.
I mean, that's the key winner for tonight.
Yeah, she went above and beyond.
Don't really see that at home very often.
She doesn't wait on you at home?
No, but get out here and look at her go.
Well, yeah. Well, now she's being paid by someone to be a host. So
yeah.
Do we know if San Antonio, if they lost 3 games at home in a row all year? There's no way,
There's no
right?
way.
Surely not.
Like, just the randomness of that. That those San Antonio fans, and I do feel terrible for them. Yeah. That went, I'm joking. They went to all 3 games, and
I would say last night though closed the deal on us dodging all of the bullets of the Dallas rivals winning titles.
Yeah,
you avoided Thunder, Spurs, Avalanche. I guess Wild if you consider them of that quality. I don't necessarily, but Vegas, the Oilers.
Yeah. Boy,
like
and that,
two champions that we can all live with are the Knicks and the Hurricanes.
And that Stanley Cup final really turned.
It
looked like it was Vegas was predestined.
Yes, it really did. And so
here's the man himself.
Oh, let's see. Oh, there he is.
So tall, so thin.
He still looks like Dirk. Well, Sarah cut him off. Get in there. Throw your elbows around.
I'm not elbow guy. You know that. They're walking over here. They know.
You're listening to live coverage. Oh!
Ow! Well, sit down. We'll talk about it. Sit down. Have a seat.
Look at this. Just as he is.
Good to see you, Dirk.
Fresh off.
Hey, guys.
You look good.
Hi, Dirk.
Thank you.
I mean, come on.
Is that one of your playing suits?
I think so.
Get back into it?
I'm fitting back into it.
Nice.
It took a while. It took a while.
Still as slender as ever.
Yeah.
You know.
About 185.
There was a time a few years ago I came back from the summer, and I was looking down the scale. I was pushing almost 3 bills.
Shut up.
I was like, all right. This
too much ice
this
cream?
Cool. Yeah. Pizza, ice cream on rotation.
What was your...
Are we live already? Or?
Yeah, we're
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have told that. I was about 232.
What was your playing weight?
About 245, 250. So okay. I was getting up there quickly. And,
yeah.
What's your playing weight now?
Now I'm about... Actually, I'm back to about 245.
Yeah, you look very lean.
Yeah.
Very lean.
Thank you.
What'd you do?
Just put a little work and got with some nutritionists and had to... adjust some stuff. It was all about food. We don't walk as much, and we don't move as much anymore, so it was all about the intake of food.
No, yeah, whenever we see you, we ask about the ankle. How's the ankle doing?
The ankle's been pretty good. You know, obviously, if you lose whatever, 30 pounds, that shows a lot. So I've been moving around with Kev and playing tennis.
Still play paddle?
Paddle every now and then, more tennis. Obviously, I will never run and jump again, but it's decent to play some tennis.
Well, how's the tennis game?
Worked on it a little bit, yeah. You know, when I'm out there with Steve in L.A., you know, he's addicted.
Yeah.
So usually our routine was we get up 7 in the morning. At 8 a.m., he's got me on some tennis court in Beverly Hills. Playing for a quick hour and a half. Then we have breakfast together, and then we'll
have
go to
lobster.
Studio. At like, yeah, no lobster. And then we go to studio like 12:01. So that was our routine in L.A. It's been fun.
I think it's so hilarious. He's like just dove like fully into that sport.
I mean, he is so
But he's such a good athlete.
Great athlete. He could have gone, I always say this, but he could have gone pro in numerous sports. He's that good in soccer, tennis, whatever you would have picked. He played hockey growing up. Just played golf with him last week. Just his strokes are just so natural. I think he would have gone pro in anything.
It's not fair.
So, yeah, no,
that's
crazy. He's that guy.
You know, speaking of tennis, you got your first German major winner since like before you even came to Dallas. Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I heard that it had been that long since Boris Becker won.
I know, right?
Zverev won, finally.
Zverev got it through.
And do you know him at all?
I do, yeah. We text him occasionally. I was very happy for him. You know, it's been a long ride.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those deals where wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen, yeah, I know. So he was so close a couple times. You know, wasn't the final against team there. That was the closest he's gotten there in the U.S. Open final during the pandemic. And should have probably won that, served for the match. And it's been a long road getting back there. And with Sinner and Alcaraz obviously kind of getting out and Alcaraz not being part of the tournament, that kind of opened up for him. And, you know, it was a lot of pressure on him, but for him to actually pull it off and get through the draw and pull it off, that was amazing. Happy for him.
So I was telling the guys you were at the match yesterday.
Yes, I was.
Even though I didn't see you.
I was kind of hiding in a little suite.
Oh, I figured. I figured you know the way into a suite or two. But I wanted to ask, because I swear, did you and Nash go to South Korea and Japan in 2002? Were you guys? I feel like you guys went to Asia for the World Cup.
So Nash did. I did not.
Oh, you did not. Okay.
No. So this was my first World Cup match, believe it or not. Because remember, in 2006 was the year we went to the finals.
Yeah.
We had the World Cup in Germany. We lost it in the heat.
And you went on the walkabout.
2 days later. No, this was the year after.
Oh, MVP. sorry.
This was 2007.
MVP, give my ears.
So 2006, we lost the final. And then 2 days later, I was going to fly home real quick, go to semifinal. We lost the semifinal to Italy in overtime with that. Was it Grosso that bent the ball in? And then I ended up missing the whole World Cup. We ended up. losing the finals, so one of the worst summers I've ever had.
Yeah.
So this was my first World Cup game last night.
Wow.
No way. Yeah. Okay.
Did it meet all expectations? Because he was talking about how amazing the experience was for him.
It was awesome. The Japanese fans were singing the entire time. I was a little disappointed by the Dutch fans. I don't know if they left it all out there pregame.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
It looked like, because there was some time where it just completely was silence.
So, the night before, they partied balls.
Yes.
And then all morning long, they
jumped around the Link's Red song.
You know the name of the song?
Yeah. We've
Links,
seen it.
Links Rex?
Yeah, so Links Rex means left, right.
Okay.
In German. It's the same. In Dutch.
It literally means left, right?
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot.
Yeah.
That song will not stop playing in my head, Derek.
It's amazing. But the way they jump around,
I love it.
Special. So I was hoping to see some of that, but in the stadium was actually super quiet. But the Japanese fans made it awesome. And then the whole second half was fireworks going back and forth, four goals.
Yeah.
And I was actually happy for Japan. They kept fighting, kept plugging, had some chances for them to score the equalizer late. It was awesome.
How many are you going to go to, or do you know?
I'm going to go a couple. We have a bunch of people in town, family from Sweden. You know, Sweden qualified. They're stationed in Dallas. They're training out at FC Dallas. They have a game here against Japan in about 10 days.
I'll be there.
Looking forward to going, obviously, supporting Sweden.
Got the brother-in-laws.
Got the brother-in-law in town.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them are coming.
Okay. Twins?
The twins. They just retired.
Did they really?
They just turned 38. They played in the Swedish League the last couple of years,
okay,
which is obviously a little calmer than the Premier League. So, they just retired. This is their first year out, and they're excited to be here, go to the World Cup. So,
which one was at Norwich?
That was Martin.
Okay.
Who played for the national team.
That's
Zlatan.
Right. He played with Zlatan?
He played with Zlatan for like a decade almost.
Nice.
He's had some cool stories about Zlatan in the locker room. It's a little crazy. But, they're coming. So we have the house full of Europeans for the World Cup. And we're going to try to go to as many as possible. And then July we'll probably head back to Europe.
It's nice. Literally the best, Dirk.
It's the best.
The World Cup is making me so happy. I
saw your tweets. You fired off like 10 tweets last night.
I can't help it. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so happy about it's here. Like,
it's here.
We always, I don't know. I was telling these guys, I know it sounds corny, but I'm sitting there yesterday feeling like it's the FIFA commercial that football brings us all together, like all these cultures, and I don't know what they were doing over there, but I loved it, and I just wanted to, I don't know, I felt myself pulling for Japan, even though Verge is on the other side.
I know, right?
Crazy.
Which, by the way, that was a nice header in that first goal, but
I felt like he did it for me.
Yeah, he did. this is what the World Cup's all about, bringing countries together and playing soccer at the best stage, and raising to 48 countries is a lot.
Yeah.
So hopefully the competition level doesn't drop too much. But it's still amazing to have that many nations here in the U.S. And we get to host and see a lot of countries and fans. So it makes me super proud. And hopefully Dallas will be a great host.
It's nice that Cape Verde did
saw
not.
Saw that little draw against Spain.
They're fighting.
That goalie was out of his mind.
40.
Yeah.
Fighting
he was
their tails
just
off.
Crying at the
so
end.
So awesome.
Fighting their tails off.
That's the World Cup for you. It's amazing.
Speaking of Twitter, are you aware of Freddie, the German tourist?
Yeah. So I keep seeing my feet. I'm not quite sure what's happening.
He came over. He saw the last friendly at Auburn, and so he went to Florida, then he went to Houston. They're going up to Tulsa, then Kansas City or something. But
why is it such a sensation? I mean, some of his stuff has like 200,000 likes. And
it's
a picture of Bucky's. I'm like, what? I don't get it. Like, what?
Well, it's just the Euro experiencing American culture for the first time and just being blown away by it. And I imagine when you first got over here, you did have some culture shock, right? But he's broadcasting it to the world on Twitter, and he's getting so much traction, so much free crap out of it.
What's with this barbecue?
Amazing. I saw JJ Watt hooked him up with the hotel and stuff. I'm like, wow, he's doing it. So maybe he'll come through Dallas.
And we're trying to get him on the show.
No way.
He's not answering my tweets.
No.
Well,
let me know.
We think you have the clout to get it done if you want.
Yeah, tweet at him, Freddie, and tell him to come on our show.
Tell Freddie to roll through, but I'm sure he's coming to the game. But Kloppo, just hit me up. He's in town.
No kidding.
He's broadcasting for German TV, so he's doing the England
game. Well, let's go. Where are we going?
You want to go meet out for a drink?
Yeah.
With cold brew?
Dude, I'll be there in 1 second. You know that.
You'll be there yesterday.
If you introduce me to Kloppo, I will be.
He'll be giggling like a schoolgirl.
I'll send you a photo.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Don't scare him off by the crazy American that loves him.
Were you freaking out just a little bit when Curacao tied it up?
Yeah, that was a little longer than I expected for it to be tied.
It eventually turned into the runaway that everybody expected.
Yeah, and then actually I drove out to the game yesterday, so I missed some of the second half, but I figured we were going to roll. Once Schlotterbeck headed in, by the way, he got every header and every free kick, every corner, so he was great. But I figure we're going to loosen them up. I didn't think we're going to score seven. But
you know what was weird is they were saying, you missed this, because it was in the second half, like early on. And whoever the announcers were going, you know, if they don't get to seven, they're going to get killed by the German media.
And
I'm like, what kind of
high expectations
is that?
Always,
seven?
Huh?
Dang,
like, yeah, seven is crazy.
No matter who you're playing, that's difficult.
Yeah, look at Spain.
I know.
Spain,
So it's not easy when the other team just puts the bus in the penalty box.
Yes.
And it's just not easy to crack it. But Germany, I guess, was lucky that Curacao played and wanted to score and wanted to be in the game and didn't just blocked the whole goal, so that made it a little easier, I guess.
How badass is Jalen Brunson?
Unbelievable. I'm so happy for him. I know. We had him here. I got to say, I did not see that coming.
I didn't think
he would be a finals MVP one day. So really happy for him. The whole crew, actually, the Knicks, very, very likable. The guys, and extremely hardworking and grit and experience came through, and that was amazing to watch.
Isn't that kind of the best example of betting on yourself ever?
For sure. I was a little worried for him going to the Knicks, getting that contract, being a franchise player in that media market. I can say it now, I was a little worried for him. But the way he shouldered that and, you know, being clutch and making all his tough shots, and I was super happy for him.
Yeah. How about our boy Casey?
Casey's fired off the tweet, huh? Did you see that? He was sitting on that for a long time.
You know what? He deserves a tweet.
He deserves it. It's got a lot of traction, too. It went viral a little bit, and then I had Casey tweets all over my feed for a while. But you guys know how I feel about him. It's my guy. He kept me healthy for 20-plus years, and he's just a good dude and knows what he's doing. And so he deserves to clap back a little bit and now sit on top. He's got the last laugh here.
Well, and now that things have changed over there, you're kind of back in the loop and things are...
Where are you at on this?
Yeah. You feel good about stuff, right?
I wouldn't say I'm in the loop as of now. Masai obviously took over now the last few weeks. We have not gotten together. We've exchanged some texts. So we'll see. I mean, I don't want to rush in anything. Obviously, they have enough on their plate now. Now they're looking for a coach. Now the draft's coming up. Free agency, who knows what else is they want to do with the team. So I'm sure we'll get together at some point over the next few weeks and talk about future. But as of now, we have not. And I've just been following on all the stuff that's happening. And
at least you're open to it now.
Yeah, I'm open to it. It looks like he's cleaned house a little bit, and you know, which is normal. Every guy, I guess, wants to bring on his own people, and we'll see how things develop there.
I'll ask this delicately.
Very delicately.
Do you feel like we're in a better spot now? Do you feel like this is a good thing? I personally, let me go first.
Okay.
I'm very happy.
Okay.
I think a lot needed to change in the last little while, and I feel like it did, and now it does feel like we are free to move forward. What do you think on that?
Well, I think what I had to say, I said on Prime in that show when the firing first happened, I think that was something that was just inevitable, and I believe it should have happened already in the summer. I just think the fan base would have never let this go, trading their beloved superstar basically overnight is what happened. So I felt like this was a huge distraction, and the boos were coming back, and I didn't want, you know, the Cooper Flag era to start like that. So I think the franchise needed to definitely move on, and now they have their leader in place, and he's made some changes, and obviously Messiah has a good track record. Obviously, he's done a lot of good stuff, and he built the championship team up in Toronto. So he was in Denver for a long, long time and built some good teams there. So he obviously knows what he's doing, and he's a strong personality, and he'll build the team around Cooper the way he feels like it, and we'll see how that works.
All right, go do your panel. Keep your tennis game in order.
Will do.
All right.
Yes.
Keep grinding.
Been playing a lot, so I'm out there.
Awesome.
Miss you.
I know. We'll do it again. We'll do it soon.
Yeah, we'll do it soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, the great Dirk Nowitzki.
My best to Kloppo.
Will do.
All right, brother.
Good to see you.
See you, Dirk.
All right, let's come back. Maybe Darren Woodson, maybe somebody else, but
we'll
do
it next
time. Community Quick Hits.
Brought to you by
Franklin Frankel, Mark Spain Real Estate.
Well, we throw it to Dave, but...
In lieu of Community Quick Hits, we bring in a couple of community leaders.
Yes.
That's true. Trailblazers in the community, Darren Woodson and Troy Aikman. Pretty much the two largest leaders that we have in this city right here with us right now.
Wow.
Civic,
hi, boys.
Civic giants.
That's an indictment on our town.
I know.
We suck here.
What's going on, boys?
Nothing. We're just hanging, man, trying to support the cause here with Donnie and Donnie.
I know.
You know?
Okay, were you guys familiar with Don when he was here? Like,
yes,
did you have
absolutely.
Any role? Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, we were just talking, there's a lot of Switzer in him. Just a lot of...
Is there?
Oh, my God. Just the tales and the age matches up and
yeah,
they've done a lot of living.
Stories. I would run into Don some in Maui. And he actually, this was years ago, it was early in my career, there was some land that was being sold. They broke off 5 acres into 1-acre lots. And I had an opportunity to buy one. I just simply couldn't afford it. And they said Don Nelson was buying one. And I ran into him years later, and I said, hey, did you ever buy that lot? And of course he did. And then he speculated with it and did quite well. And I think Don's kind of cornered the market there in Maui. I did hear on the way over here that he's moved back to Frisco.
Yeah.
I don't know how you go from Maui back to Frisco.
I understand what he's doing.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He wants tax. There's a tax issue.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to live in Dallas.
Yeah, so you better live in Dallas.
I'm not going to put him out there to the IRS, but I'm just going to tell you.
Primary residence.
Well, did you hear me ask him? Because, you know, Don has taken up.
6 months and one day in Dallas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you're going to spend that time.
Don's very public about his weed consumption. Like, that's just part of what he does now.
Oh, he is right. Now,
it's
Corby.
Like, well, so, no. I mean, it was on TV.
No, I heard him on a radio show years ago talking about it.
Yeah,
very, very open about it.
Super open about it. But then here, you know. It ain't around.
Yeah, he's not as open about it here.
Well, yeah. I'm going to show up on your front door, but he's like, I got a guy. And I just want to feel like at 86, I hope I have a guy like Don does.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hate to hear it because there was a time when Don was a big beer drinker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And, you know, an 8 beer would have been really nice for him to be a consumer.
If
he hadn't moved over to the other.
I think he probably still does that too.
Yeah.
You can go drop a case off and it'll probably be gone in a couple of weeks. I mean, come on.
Good time to plug that sucker. What?
That's
hey, you get it in when you can.
That's right.
You
know? We all got adult marketing.
And like Don.
Available at Kroger and Tom Thumb.
Yep.
Don would sit down after games with us with his beers and with the media and like crack them open and drink. And like, at the time, you know, let's say when Jimmy was coaching, I try to picture something like that. And, like, if you guys ever lost, what a freak show he would be up there on the podium, like, ready to just snap someone's neck. And Nelly was just so
calm.
Yeah, just nothing.
He always.
Just so different.
He's always been that. And Donnie, I mean, and the younger Donnie, too, as well, right? They've kind of always been that. And I'll say this about Papa Don. Like, they've always been a casual group, man. You see them out anywhere, they're going to talk to you, they're going to have conversations. They're probably going to know a lot more about you than you know about them. But their business acumen is like you just talked about it in Hawaii. But here in Dallas as well, in the real estate world, those two are very active.
Well, they just were talking about how they went in with Luca. They bought a NBA Europe team in Rome.
Wow.
Oh.
So You know, they're on the forefront of that.
I'm big fans of theirs. I do know that.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Don's, but even before he came to Dallas. But then when he came here, I just love his approach. And kind of like what Woody said, he just had a demeanor about him that I really respected. And then Donnie, of course, and, you know, how that works when Don leaves and it seems like he's at odds with Mark Cuban and yet Donnie's still in the organization.
Yep.
And I don't know. I just thought it showed a lot of maturity on a lot of people's parts, you know, including Mark and including Donnie, that somehow, you know, they didn't let whatever was happening within the family affect all of the relationships in the family. And, you know, now those were the good old years. You know, now what's happening with the Mavericks? I mean, who would have ever imagined that Mark wouldn't be, you know, controlling the team and owning the team? And it's been a wild ride here over the last couple of years watching the new ownership group,
to say the least. Yeah, it's interesting though when you talk about Don, because in those sports with 82 games or even 162, there's a little play acting amongst some of the players about how bad it is to lose one game. Like, you get used to, like, we're going to play 1,000 of these in the next decade. Not every game is Armageddon.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You guys in football, though,
no.
Maybe every loss is a big deal. Like, you can never, I mean, you're not having to act that it wasn't a big, I mean, once a week, I suppose a coach is probably right. It is the end of the world every time.
Well, I think, to Darren's point, when you in basketball and the other sports, baseball, you're going to lose a certain amount. In baseball, you're going to lose 60, you're going to win 60, and it's what you do with the other 60. And,
yeah.
And in basketball, kind of the same way, just a little lesser. But in football, as you know, I mean, the football just got so fortunate in everything as far as the way society was going, and, you know, with social media and people's attentions, you couldn't screw it up if you wanted to. But one of the things that's made it so special is the fact that you play one game a week. It's a soap opera leading up to it. Yeah. You know, everyone then draws their conclusions after it, and then it's another week before there's another big event, and you talk about it. And so it does create more importance, and I think the league's done a good job of that. I do worry both with the extended regular season, and then if they start to add more teams into the postseason. I just think what they have right now is so good that you'd hate, through greed and wanting more revenue, that somehow you don't take care of the golden goose. You know?
Well, so, what about adding the international games and every team having to give up a home game every other year?
Yeah, I don't – you know what? I don't know where I stand on that. I mean, I'd be curious to hear what y'all think. The international game, if they're pulling us there, if these countries are pulling us into their market, I'm all for it. But I would hate to think that we're just slamming NFL football in these countries just for the sake of saying, hey, we want to be a global sport. But I don't really have an opinion on it too much.
We've talked about it. They're chasing the TV money.
Yes.
Mainly, right?
Absolutely.
Like that's it.
Absolutely. It's the bigger markets. It's ownership, right? Ownership is looking at it. Look at the Super Bowl. I mean, the decision that was made to go with Bad Bunny was an international decision. They want to be an international game.
Yeah.
And you kind of get it. But if you're looking at it from a business owner standpoint, or if you're owning any business, hell, you just don't want to be domestic. You want it internationally, not for just jersey sales, but just for the pop. And I get it. I totally get it from an ownership. Now, I know the players are probably going to be a little perturbed about traveling overseas and doing those things and being uncomfortable. But, you know, for the ownership, I get it.
How far have they ever sent you for a game?
Japan, I guess. I went there for a couple press conferences. I've been four times. Once in college for an all-star game. We played two preseason games.
Yeah.
Toronto, Mexico City. We had a few games. We had one in Monterey, Mexico, and I believe that's all that
we had.
We had
a game in London.
They did London. Game. I just had back surgery, so I didn't go.
Ah, okay.
And I, you know, but all of our international games were all preseason games.
That's right.
So we never did do an international game that was a regular season, and that changes things. You know, it definitely does with how these teams are able to come back. It's my understanding now not all of them are having a bye when they come back.
Mm.
It makes it a little bit tough. I know the Chiefs have come out and talked about some of their scheduling demands and how they're short on recovery days. And
it sounds like a beating. It really does.
It is. But at the same time, I do think that I don't know. I mean, I would tend to complain at times when I was a player.
No, you don't really.
But I'd like to.
Never knew that.
I'd like to think that if I was playing now, I would say, you know, when you look at what quarterbacks are making, and then the popularity of the sport and all of the other things that are coming along with it. Not that that wasn't there when we were playing. Right. It just wasn't to the scale that it is now. That I think I, like a lot of these current players, you'd be willing to say, you know, is there some uncomfortableness in this? Yes. But yet, I mean, we got a good life. This is a good.
No, they're living a good life.
Yeah.
Like, I just went to a practice the other day. Like, dude, they don't hit. You know, how many practices are padded practices? 10, 11 practices now or somewhere in there?
Well, and how about the Rams? McVay, he cancels mandatory. You know, you don't get to practice much as it is. And then the one mandatory mini camp you have, he just says, we're not going to have it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, it really is a different deal. I have a place in Montecito, as you know. It's 30 minutes from Oxnard. And
it looks just like Oxnard, too. I was going to let you know.
I see a number of players. I'm a member at a beach club there in Montecito. I see coaches and players in training camp, you know, at the beach club all 3-4 weeks that they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
Just chill.
Zero sympathy.
It is.
Like, I don't have any sympathy.
Woody and I don't know that we hit a beach club.
Oh, no.
Or any club, for that matter.
In Wichita Falls?
You know, yeah. So it's totally different.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not begrudging it. I just think it's changed so much. And like Darren saying, not hitting, they're not practicing to the same level. Now, some of that, you have the injuries that you see, soft tissue injuries early in the season in training camp. But their bodies, there's such an emphasis on keeping them healthy and the wear and tear.
Would you rather have it that way? Like
I think everybody would because it extends your career. And so, especially with the dollars now, you get a chance to make more money. What I do think is our time together in the off season. So we were together so much in the off season and practicing. That I do think that really forges relationships, trust, loyalty, all of that pays off, you know, once you get into the regular season. But everybody was doing it that way. You know, everyone's doing it this way now, and so everyone's having to play by those rules. But it has changed, I think, the dynamic within the locker room. But
I do think we came from an extreme. Like, I remember coming to the league in 92, and it was extreme. I didn't know if San Francisco was – their off-season program was like that. Like, I came in with Jimmy, and you didn't miss, like,
anything.
You miss an off-season workout, and your ass was on fire. You know what I mean? Like, like having a loss in preseason felt like a death in preseason. Like, we just, and I know offensively was one thing. Defensively, like, Jimmy just rode us, like, so hard on things. So, yeah, I just don't have the sympathy level for me is just I just don't have it, man. I really don't.
I think some of that's missing, by the way. I really do. And I think it's missing probably in Dallas. It's missing in some other cities. You know, these players, I think a lot of them, they step in and they're immediately looked upon as a brand. And I think where Jimmy was able – and if you're a Cowboy, then you're immediately a brand nationally in a lot of ways. And I just felt the way Jimmy handled things.
Yeah.
Now, could that work today? I tend to believe that it could, but it takes the right type coach.
When did you realize, like both you guys, when you stepped in here, how big it meant to the city when you lost a game? You mentioned – losing a game in the preseason from a coaching standpoint, and they're freaking out. But, like, did you know the city went into, like, a depression?
Like, would you guys stay in?
Like, I would.
Yeah.
I didn't get out after we lost.
We're ordering in.
Yeah, you just feel like I don't know how you felt, Woody, but you feel like the whole community in town is down on you, and the last thing you want to be seen is out enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it was hard to do that. So
did you have any sense of that before you got here, though? Like how big it was and how weird it was?
Nah, I did not. Well, I know he probably had a lot more feeling of what it felt like to go, 1-15? Like, you got
you kind of knew. I came into a league. We won the Super Bowl my first year. I think we lost four games that first year and then three games the next or something like that.
In 92.
Yeah. So
we don't lose.
We don't lose. Right. Nor did I have any, like, you come into a team that is so ready to make that run, and I'm 21, 22 years old. All I know is winning. Like, I had no fear of going up against. People talk about the 49ers. Like, I had no fear of going, because I didn't know any better. Like,
yeah.
We beat everybody, and we're going to go there, and we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
The same. I just didn't. So, you know what I mean? Like,
that's awesome.
So, it was just a different field. I didn't have that feeling of those guys who went 1-15 or had to build up to being a Super Bowl caliber football team. Now, it sucked on the back end when we started to slide in 96, and I was like, holy cow, what are we doing, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a time, man, I'm telling you, in those first 3-4 years, we were invincible. It felt like that.
I just looked at my watch. Are we keeping you guys off the stage or anything?
Because
I don't want – it's great talking with you guys, but it got really quiet, so I just want to make sure.
We've been given the 1 minute.
Okay, okay. Well, this is very cool.
When I was in in the late 70s and early 80s when I was a little kid and the Cowboys would lose, I would literally beg my parents to not have to go to school. Because school sucks so bad just because of that. Like, everyone's just like, God, the game sucks. So, you know, and I mean, like, it was just always such a big deal. And it's weird. Like, I think it's weird how big it actually is. It's dissipated in my life as I got older, as it does for everyone. But son
Corby
of a
doesn't
bitch
care at all
deal.
Anymore.
I have no feelings.
The Cowboys.
Yeah. We're all dead inside.
I was in Oklahoma. I moved there when I was 12, and that's when I really started watching the Cowboys. And, you say when they lose. I can tell you from my memory, I don't know that they ever lost.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it just seemed like they would be down, and then Roger would pull something out, and they'd find a way to win. It just seemed like that was the norm every week, like they never lost.
Right.
And it was a fun time. And, you know, obviously Roger and, you know, we're going to talk about Don Meredith a little bit tonight, I think. But with Roger and the 70s Cowboys built, you know, we rode their coattails when we were able to get it turned around because – you know, to Woody's point, when we were 1-15, when I came to Dallas, my first year, the stadium was half full.
Yeah.
I mean, there were 30,000 people there.
Mm.
And then when we started to win, which was really 91, we won a little bit in 90, but it wasn't until 91 when you really got a taste of what this fan base was like, because then they were out in full force, and then that's when it got really fun. And then we... You know, I'm proud of the fact that we did our part in kind of bridging the gap between the 70s and the 90s and carried the legacy. Yeah. And I think our success in the 90s then really hit home that, especially for a quarterback, that to be in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, you got to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm proud that I was a part of something like that raised the bar. For that position, and then collectively we raise the bar for what's regarded as success as a team.
And now it's just continued success year after year.
Yeah, so it's got to blow your mind that you were 10 years removed from Roger, and now it's 30 years removed from you.
Well, it blows me away that and I mean, this is a conversation that you all have every day on the radio, and we have it, and that when you look at the wins in the regular season, what the Cowboys have been able to do, like they're top five. I don't know what the number is exactly, but they've won a lot of regular season games. But it is mind-blowing to think that since we retired, they've won four playoff games, and that's simply unacceptable for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not saying anything that Jerry Jones or others in the organization wouldn't agree to. I don't know that they would necessarily be as blatant about it as I just was, but four playoff games in 30 years or whatever it's been. I mean,
I would have bet we all would have bet everything that we would ever project it to be worth that would not be the number.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
No question.
Well, you guys better get in there.
Yeah,
right. You're awesome.
Civic leaders,
Troy Aikman,
Darren Woodson.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much for your time, guys.
Darren, thank you.
Thanks, sir.